two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Oh yeah, baby.
Thanks, Kalani.
You know, Mitch.
They love their Cougars.
Mitch Harper.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper. Happy to have you on board to the podcast once again. A lot going on in the world of BYU athletics, as always. It's always busy in BYU sports. It just always is. It's amazing how this program always conjures up headlines. You think, oh, just following one beat, there's nothing to talk about. It's going to get dry at some point. No, it's not the case with BYU, especially when they're in the Big 12, and there's so much to get to on the show. This edition of the podcast, and if you haven't done so already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, and also the KSL Sports app presented by University Federal Credit Union. You can follow me on Twitter at @Mitch_Harper, at KSL Sports on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. So today's show looks at the USF Bowls, and joining me now is a USF insider, a sports reporter for Spectrum Sports, and also Bay News 9, a sports anchor down there in Florida. He's Chris Torello, and Chris, excited to have you on board to talk some USF football, also some Big 12, because I know you were dialed in with Big 12 realignment. We'll start things off with an easy question. How are fans of USF and in the Florida region responding to this late night 10:15 p.m. kick between BYU and USF, which will be on ESPN2 and KSL News Radio?
Oh, a lot of mixed reactions. I think everyone's excited, though. I think, BYU is one of those programs that is such a national brand, and it's probably, they got to play Florida and NC State, but, I mean, BYU is right up there for, big-time games. And so I think a lot of Bulls fans will enjoy other college football, and then they'll be able to maybe have some dinner and have some drinks and enjoy the game, at home, and, be able to just kind of sit maybe in the confines and just kind of enjoy it late at night. But it's fun. That's college football. I stay up and watch all the West Coast games. You have to, especially with football back in full force this year. I think every Bulls fan is kind of excited. It's kind of Bulls after dark, so they're excited for it.
Yeah, it is a great point to stay up wire to wire, even stay up late for that Hawaii game late at night. You got to make sure to do that. And the Bulls are coming into Provo. First trip to Provo. They made a trip years ago to Utah, but first time visiting BYU. They're a huge underdog, 23 points last I checked. Is there anything that you've seen through the first 3 weeks that maybe gives you reason to believe that this USF squad can maybe put a scare into the nationally ranked BYU team?
I think one of the big things is that, look at the way they played second half against Florida. I know everyone will say, well, look, that game was out of reach, and Florida maybe started thinking about number one Alabama. However, Anthony Richardson and Emory Jones, the two quarterbacks for Florida, kept playing in that game. And so that, seeing Emory Jones get picked off twice by USF, who stayed very aggressive on defense, They outscored them 17-7. I think that's kind of where you see the pride, the hope, and of what Jeff Scott, you know, formerly of Clemson as an assistant under Dabo Swinney, is trying to build here. Is you're never going to quit. You're never going to give up. And, you know, they've got a lot of respectable alums, including Jason Pierre-Paul of the Bucks, who actually stepped into the locker room at halftime of that game. And so we're going to find out a lot about you guys in the second half. You better be willing to play no matter the score, no matter the result. You got to play hard. And it definitely showed. So I think just they're never going to give up, and they never feel out of it. I think that's really tough considering you just got off a 10-game losing streak. But, you know, they've got a lot of good players. They're building things. It's going to take some time here at USF. It's not what it was when BYU came to Tampa a few years ago. They had the tail end of some good players. But, you know, they really had to do a lot of turnover. But this is just a group that's trying to stick together through the tough times, and they're just trying to play every down and every possession.
Yeah, you bring up that game 2 years ago. That was a point where BYU ended up going, you know, they were 2-4 at that moment, and Kalani Sitake was facing a lot of heat where he was going to be maybe losing his job. But then since, BYU's been 19-3. USF, on the other end, is kind of went in the wrong direction. Can you tell us, you know, maybe give us a timeline of what's been transpiring with USF football since that loss for BYU in Tampa 2 years ago?
Well, so since then, it was Charlie Strong. They I think that was made them 3-3 at the time around there. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they're 4-8 and he's walking off the field in Orlando against UCF and just completely embarrassed. And I think that weekend, you kind of got word like, you know, look, he's meeting with athletic director Michael Kelly, and you know, I don't think Michael Kelly was buying it anymore. I think Charlie Strong's a good man, but it was just time to go. And so from there, it was about getting a guy like Jeff Scott who wants to build and really wants to push this program from a facility standpoint. That's a big thing. They just broke ground on an indoor performance facility that should be at least up for next August to avoid all this rain we get here in the Bay Area. But yeah, and then they're going to hopefully have an on-campus stadium breaking ground over the next few years. I think that's a big push as well from their board of trustees. So it's going in the right direction that way. They've got a great athletic director, and they've got a really good young coach in Jeff Scott. Charlie Weiss Jr. is the OC. So, of course, it takes players, and they're recruiting pretty well. They're starting to get their guys in here, and I think you're going to see some flashes. I don't know how much, but, you know, their quarterback, Timmy McClain, who seems to be the guy now, I think you're going to see some moments where your fans are going to be like, oh, wow, this kid's got some potential. And I think that's what it's all about for the Bulls, is just starting to stretch their legs a little bit, especially with the younger guys, and starting to see if they can piece this together. It's not going to be a perfect year, but, you know, the goal is that in 2022, 2023, you kind of start to see the program build to where it should be in the American.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
USF Insider Look with Chris Torello here on Cougar Tracks on KSL News Radio and KSL Sports. You mentioned Timmy McClain. Jeff Scott switched from Cade Fortin, who started, former North Carolina transfer, goes to Timmy McClain. What caused that switch at QB?
You know, it was interesting. I think for the 8 months, you know, usually through January through fall camp of August, all I heard was Cade Fortin's leading the drills. Cade Fortin's doing this. He had a great spring game at Ray J. Fans loved it. And it just seemed like he had finally settled in. 2019, he had injuries. He had to deal with COVID the first 2 to 3 weeks of the season. Never got right. So it felt like finally, here's Cade, here's his chance. And then all of a sudden, 3 series into NC State, Jeff Scott just puts Tim McClain in, and we all kind of looked at each other like, wait, I thought this was Cade's team. So, but I think it showed they did have a really good, decent QB competition, and Timmy got his chance, and they've also got Katravis Marshall you might see on Saturday. You know, who knows? At this point, it's a little confusing. I know Jeff Scott had really wanted to come into the season with his QB. He felt it was Cade Fortin. Then all of a sudden, the narrative changes. And it's like, look, before we get to SMU, which is next week for the Bulls, which is conference play, you know, they want to maybe be able to say this is our QB going forward. So the narrative kind of changed a little bit. But look, Timmy McClain is aggressive. He is not afraid. He won the Class 8A state championship here in Florida. That's the highest class we have, at Sanford Seminole, just a little north of Orlando, and just put on a show at Doak Campbell Stadium in Tallahassee, home of FSU. And he's a stud. He never looks afraid out there. He'll be rattled on in Provo. We know that. He's going to be a little rattled, going to do a lot of silent counts. But he's definitely growing. And I think, you know, if BYU fans, and who are some of the best and most educated football fans out there, they know the name Quinton Flowers. He's probably the most gifted QB USF has had since Flowers. It's just a matter of when can he get to that potential.
And one of his top pass catchers is now out for the season. Latrell Williams, I saw that was announced this week. Is there any other personnel notes or guys that might be questionable going into this matchup?
Yeah, we're still waiting on a wide receiver, Bryce Miller. He was in a walking boot late Saturday, so we're not sure how bad that is. They got a couple defensive guys who banged up, and unfortunately, you know, that's affected practice a little bit. You know, they've got some issues in the secondary with some guys going down. They just had one of their DBs go with a torn ACL as well, I believe. So they're mixing and matching. You're going to see some of the younger guys step up, you know, but I mean, you know, guys like Daquan Evans out of Orlando, he's a guy that's going to play on the cornerback position. So they're trying to piece it together a little bit, but you know, yeah, listen, injuries are part of the game. I'd rather be talking about injuries than an unavailable list because of COVID. So, you know, this is much more normal than last year. So I'm okay with dealing with that.
Yeah, that 100% agree with you there. That is so true. And again, talk with Chris Torello here. I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about Big 12 expansion, because USF, I think this is a, you know, probably a difficult time now for USF fans, because they just saw their rival, UCF, get invited to the Big 12 conference. Why do you think USF was not more of a factor in these talks for the Big 12 expansion?
Well, I think to quote the USF athletic director, Michael Kelly, it's all about timing, ladies and gentlemen, and this was the right time for UCF. You know, I mean, think about it. If you go back to 2016, when Scott Frost comes from Oregon and takes over the program from George O'Leary, they're 0-12.
Yeah.
Willie Taggart, who's about to take the Oregon job, you know, is sitting there pretty, you know, sitting pretty with almost a 10-win season at USF. I mean, if the Big 12 comes, you know, they had been talking about expansion for a little while here. They've been dangling that carrot in front of the horse. If that all of a sudden becomes a, you know, comes to fruition in 2016, who goes, USF or UCF? The Bulls. The Bulls go. So it's all about timing. And I just think, you know, UCF really has turned into a you know, bit of a national brand, also a national pain in the butt for a lot of people. But that's what you got to do. They're, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and give UCF all the credit. And they've got a really good program. I love Gus Malzahn. It stinks what happened to Dylan Gabriel, you know, hurting his shoulder like he did with the broken clavicle against Louisville last week. But, you know, I think UCF's just been very boisterous. I really like Terry Mahajer, who's their new athletic director. You know, he comes from that kind of Midwest area, so he understands the Big 12. So, yeah, UCF's going in. Look, USF was at least mentioned, but look, from everyone I spoke with, and I don't know how I have a couple of the connections I have. It's not that far to Orlando from where I am, but, you know, I was told pretty early on that, yeah, no, listen, UCF is already having discussions. They're going to go if this happens. They're just cautious because who knows what happens with the Big 12. But I think the second BYU got mentioned, who, by the way, they're the white whale of this round. It's, there's no offense to UCF, but BYU is what the real prize. And so once I heard BYU was in, it was like, okay, well, this is going to be fine. I think the Big 12 will be just fine. And BYU's got a lot of fans in the Tampa Bay area for two reasons. One, the way you all were just so gracious when you came here in 2019, the fans, administration, the staff, the team, the coaches, some of the nicest human beings you'll ever meet. And two, because you beat up on UCF last year in Boca. So you got fans over here for a few reasons.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, BYU fans, they will travel everywhere around the country, and they definitely had pockets of fans for sure in that game in Tampa. And Big 12 expansion, I think, will probably be something that's still discussed. I know Kirby Hocutt from Texas Tech, he even said it could be an 8 to 10 year deal where they're monitoring this and looking to potentially expand. Do you think with USF trying to get an on-campus stadium, breaking ground on an indoor practice facility, is the commitment there for maybe the Bulls to have a rise again? Because, I mean, it feels like yesterday there was that time in 07 where USF in the Big East, they were playing big-time football, and it was they instantly kind of turned themselves from out of the trailer to now in the national conversation. Can they rise up again, you think, USF?
I'm from Connecticut. I even think back to when I remember UConn football being good. So it's very weird, especially, you're right, those Big East days actually were just so amazing. But, I think for USF, they have two goals. One, they need to get a new president. They have a good interim president right now, but she's kind of a placeholder. Their board of trustees is run by a very aggressive hedge fund manager who is very big on getting all the pretty shiny things. So I think they have to do two things. They need to get the right president, somebody who can come in and be just boisterous and loud and really push athletics, but also push for AAU status to be a premier research university. USF is pushing for that. They're preeminent already. But if they could become one of those 30, 35 schools in the nation to get that kind of status, that opens up the door for them. And I think academics is such a big thing with BYU. Again, is the big whale for a few reasons. One, great academics, great people. They're going to be the shiny shoes in the closet of the Big 12, because the Big 12 is not the best academically. So they need classy programs like BYU. Call me crazy, but I think if USF gets those things in place, and it can happen over a 5-year period, look, why not try for the ACC? Why not? I mean, the Big Ten would love to dip their toe in Florida. So who knows? Maybe, everything works out for them. But yes, I do think the Big 12 is there. And even if they don't go into a bigger conference with the OCS built, no one's going to say, oh, no, we don't want to go to Ray J for a season. Like, BYU fans probably loved Ray J.
Yeah.
It's big, it's beautiful, so the weather's great no matter when you play here. So I think even if they had to play a season or two at Ray J before officially opening on campus, no one's going to be mad at that.
You can follow him on Twitter at Torello Sports. He's the sports reporter for Spectrum Sports and anchor for Bay News 9. He's Chris Torello. Chris, appreciate all the insight. Looking forward to the game on Saturday night and future BYU-USF games, hopefully, if next year in 2022 and beyond. So we might be crossing paths more in the future.
Absolutely. Would love to do so. You guys have a great fan base, great team out there. Take care.
He's Chris Torello here on KSLSports.com. Great stuff there from Chris. It's BYU and USF coming up Saturday night, 8:15 kick on ESPN2 and here on KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.